Good evening, everybody. Great to see you. You know, a couple of years ago, we took a trip to Chicilinta. It was in Pastor Timothy's Maruti 800. And it was Pastor Brian, me, and Sudha in the back seat. We were like, you know, crunched. And then Pastor Timothy was like, you know, there in the driver. And then on the way, like part of a tire came out, and it was like a sound because it hit the, like, you know, I think the something in the car, and then I could see like a piece like just fly out, and I said, Pastor Timothy, a piece of the tire came out. And then he said, oh really, car is still going, no, we'll see. Then, and that was like, I was, yeah, that was like, yeah, I never expected to hear that. When the car did break down, it was right in front of a service guy, so it was like crazy. Yeah, amazing. He's just so carefree about all these things. Okay, today we are discussing in the Bible school church history. We are talking about the apostles, the time when, what happened during that time, the book of Acts. And one of the most important events of the book of Acts, we are discussing that. And today's message, we'll learn it, okay? So kind of like a mini Bible study or something. So just let's just enjoy the study together. It's the first meeting that happens in the church. It's called the Jerusalem Council in Acts chapter 15, okay? But before you go there, we'll go to Titus chapter 2. We'll do three or four references for the message, so bear with me. Titus chapter 2. 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. This is a very simple but yet profound statement. The grace of God that brings salvation has, how did it appear? It appeared in the person of Jesus Christ. When he came, people could see, like, you know, the Word made flesh. The Jewish hopes and dreams, like, you know, if someone had like that spiritual insight, they could see he is the one. And then it also, the next verse says, teaching us, the same grace of God teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, that we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. That word teaching us is also like a coach, you know, like training, like, you know, come on, like, you know, very good, but let's do it much better, come on, like that. A process in our lives. And the one special relationship between Jesus and his church is that he is the shepherd and we are his sheep. And this word teaching is also like, think of it like this, the grace of God shepherding us to walk in our lives a certain way, okay? And we will look at the first Jerusalem Council, and we'll also look at the heart of the shepherd. Okay, that's kind of the thought today. The grace of God shepherding us. Okay, let's look at, now we'll go to Acts chapter 15, the chapter I said. This church council meeting was very crucial. It was like pivotal. It it decided a lot of things about how Christianity was to go forward. And but it all start, the thing is, it did not flash like as a great idea in someone's mind. It started with a problem. Okay, so look at the first verse of chapter 15. Certain men which came down from Judea. Now there were some Jewish people who came from the church in Jerusalem. They traveled to Antioch, up north, where there was great growth, lot of Gentile believers, lot of people getting saved. And then they started to teach and said in that same verse, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Okay? This is like a condition. Wait a minute. You thought salvation was so easy? You thought that you can have exactly what we have? We have believed Christ, and you also claim to believe Christ. But the point is, we are Jewish converts, but you are not the same. So you think it's so easy? So there you see, right? And here is like a thing. There is a demand, right? Like circumcision was what? Just a sign of separation. Okay? It is like demanding a type of separation, but it is only superficial. It is only like outward. And what did it do to the people? Did they gladly receive it? Later on, because of this problem, the church meeting happens. Okay? Okay. Look at this. If you go on ahead, Paul and Barnabas, who are pastoring the church there, they go down to Jerusalem to do this meeting with the apostles. But in verse 3, while they're going down, here is the thing, okay? This is Antioch, that is like Jerusalem. They're going on the way, and then they're stopping by in places where there are believers, in Samaria, in different places. And they're talking about all the great things God has done. And it says in that verse that they cause great joy to all the brethren. Okay? Can you imagine, like, there's a problem and I'm going, so the problem has to be solved. But along the way, there is still like great joy. Okay, that is like, keep that thing in mind. We'll come back to that. Now, we won't go into like a lot of the details of what happened, but basically when they met at the meeting, the elders of the church in Jerusalem, Peter, James, John, and other people, they made a very mature decision. They understood that we cannot restrict who should receive grace or who should not, or how someone should behave. We cannot. They made a very mature decision. And a lot of credit has to be given to that. If you read this chapter, you can see Peter's speech, and then James, the head of the church, he makes a very powerful statement. And then they give letters saying, yes, it is fine. We approve and agree with the message of Paul and Barnabas, and they are apostles. They give that letter. Now, in verse 24 in that same chapter, okay, they are writing like a letter back to the people. For as much we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls. saying, you must be circumcised and keep the law. Okay? It's the same statement, but the apostles in Jerusalem are saying, some people came from here and said these things. We know about that. And then they say, to whom we gave no such commandment. Okay? So, it is like people saying, we never authorized them to say things or do things that they did there, but they came there. It is great to take mission trips, but not like this, you know. I hope if you see what I mean. I just want to say that this is like the heart of someone who is a shepherd. This is expressed by the apostles in Jerusalem, the elders, and Paul and Barnabas. Just this phrase in the next verse in 25, it seemed good to us, it seemed good to us that God is doing this work among you. That is what they said. Then in verse 28 of that same chapter, they said, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay no greater burden on you. So there is no requirement like that. Yeah. So can you see just who a shepherd is? It's like that. It seemed good to us, the elders are discussing. And then it seemed good to us and to the Holy Spirit. Okay. If we just digress a little bit, okay, you can see, like, we started the message with the grace of God that shepherds us, right? And Jesus is seen in as a shepherd in like three different portions in the New Testament. One, he says, I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Okay, think of that as Jesus's ministry while he was on the earth. And then another part in talks about Jesus as the great shepherd, Christ, the great shepherd. And Hebrews chapter 13? Hebrews, at the great shepherd, you can think of Christ as in his post-resurrection days, where he had accomplished everything that he came to accomplish, and now he is speaking as a shepherd. Then the Bible also talks of Christ as the chief shepherd. Okay? And this is in 1 Peter chapter 5. And it's like when the chief shepherd comes, look at that as Christ in his present session. He is seated in heaven and he is shepherding, who Christ is now. And that happens through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. What the Holy Spirit accomplishes through each and every one of us, and the fruit that it produces. Okay? So, why is it important for us to consider this? Because in this Jerusalem Council, we see that there is a very big problem. And there are two ways of dealing with it. One, we can focus the entire issues of the problem around ourselves. Or there is another way. We can have a shepherd's heart. Meaning, one, hearing the voice of the shepherd, and then also not being self-centered. We'll see that, okay? Where are we? Okay, now, yeah, so, yeah, okay, so just that part, right? It seemed good to us. There was some outcome in that meeting, which was a great victory to the Apostle Paul. Okay, and but the point is, while the apostle was going there, he did not know how it was going to turn out. He did not know this is exactly the result. The elders there will decide like this, this will be amazing. He did not know that. How did the apostle handle the crisis is like a very crucial thing for us to like see and understand, okay? There is one secret to it. And we'll talk about that in the next few minutes and we're done, okay? There is one author who says that there are only three kinds of people in the world. One, people who are going into a crisis. Two, people who are in a crisis. Three, people who are coming out of a crisis. So there is no fourth kind. It's like, you know, like a man. But the issue is, how did the apostle deal with it has great teaching for us. Teaches us, like, you know, every crisis can become an opportunity for grace to teach us to live a certain way and produce a certain result, you know. So let's look at what was the Apostle Paul's secret. While he went, what did they do? First, they did not make too much of the crisis. They were sharing with people and they had joy, right? But here is one secret key that the apostle had. Last portion of scripture for today. We'll turn to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 points to the same portion of the time when this council happened. There was the same issue. And in verse 1, it says, "Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also." This is Paul's secret key to handling a crisis. What? He took Titus along with him. And this is like an amazing thing, okay? Let's see what that means. Could I have like a chair? Manoj, could you just help me with the chair? Only one empty chair. Thanks. Yeah. Okay. So, here is the thing. We'll name the chair. Titus. Okay. So Paul is in this meeting and there is like all the apostles, all the other Jewish converts and like, you know, discussing this issue, what should happen to the Gentiles, what should we do, let Paul come and we'll talk about it, we also have things to say. Huh? And then Paul, the smartest thing he does is he brings this guy and he puts him in the meeting room also. And then like, who's this guy, you know? Oh, that's meet Titus. He's a Greek. He's a Gentile convert. What do you intend to do with him? Let's talk about him. Okay? So what I'm trying to say is, yeah, the taking him along meant, let us focus on truth that is objective and not just on our opinions. Taking Titus along to the meeting meant the issue is not just flesh and blood. Taking Titus along to the meeting was not like having everything right according to the letter of the law without the spirit of the law. Okay? So, not just outward behavior, but the inner man. So here is what they are saying. So some people stood up and said, yes, we should have him circumcised. Oh, really? But what about his heart? What about his inner man? How are we going to build that up? Well, we don't care about that so much. Let him go back and do what he wants. But, you know, if he wants to be called a Christian, he should be like this. You know. Okay? Do you follow how amazingly important this was to the people then? So, So in this, we'll stay in this chapter and we will see that in Galatians chapter 2 verse 4, because false brethren unawares bought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ. So Paul makes mention of false brethren. Now these are not necessarily Judaizers who have like a malicious intent to like destroy the church, but these could be like very honest, sincere, well-meaning Jewish converts who have, but they cannot get over or understand how, like, you know, someone like him can just be, you know, the same as us. No, something has to happen with this guy, you know. So you mean to say, what about the law, what about circumcision, what about worship, how are we going to, what about fellowship? So at the council, they decided two things. What about the Gentile convert? Fine. No need to circumcise them. They are free. They can just believe by faith and they are saved. They decided that. What they did not talk about was how the Jewish convert is going to relate to them. Okay? Now, so here is what Titus would say. Oh, so does that mean that, like, you know, I am a believer and you are a believer and we can fellowship together, sit and connect like that? Well, no. We don't exactly mean that, you know. We just decided about what's going to happen to the Gentile convert, but as far as the Jewish convert, you still have to uphold some of the important parts of the ceremonial law, you know. So there was this thing. Anyway, finally, here is what happened. Peter, who had earlier stood up and said, look, let's not put any burden on these people. Let's just thank God for what's happening. Later on, he visits Antioch in verse 11 of this chapter. When Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. And before that, certain came from James, and he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. Meaning, Peter, after the council happened, everyone went, Peter visits, he's having a party with all the Gentile converts, but then James comes with his party, and then, like, you know, Peter was having like nice pork ribs and like blood and blood sausage. You know, some, once I was like, some in Argentina, one of the thing is very like a delicacy is blood sausage. And once we just had like a get together in the church, and you know, we just had some food, and one guy was like, "Oh, this is amazing. Have you had this?" I said, "No, what's that?" I was like, "Mostisha, mostisha." I was like, "Yeah, yeah, give it. I don't know." And then, you know, with a nice piece of cheese, I ate it, and boy, this is like so different. What is it? It's like, you know, blood sausage. I was like, okay. You know, I just hope I don't tell my mom what I did eat. So, the thing is, when Peter got scared about this liberty, right? So he changed his behavior, and then Paul confronts him and he says, "No, you're doing wrong. This is not correct." So here is the thing. Peter, even Barnabas, succumbed to peer pressure. And this can happen, like this can be so strong in our lives, in different areas, in your work, in your family, in a marriage, at church, anywhere, like peer pressure, the need to like conform. Just acceptance by changing like outward behavior, okay? But there is no concern about the inner man. What about the inner man of Titus? How is he going to grow? We don't want to worry about that. Because I myself, who am demanding that behavior, I myself am not built up in the inner man. Are you seeing the difference? So this was like a very, it was like a false burden that was put because of Peter's behavior, and Paul confronts him. One of the great strengths of Peter was he could rebound, he could take correction. He could like say, "Yeah, I was wrong," and then change his mind. That is one of his greatest strengths. Okay, all of this to say, just bring us to the close of this message. Last two verses of the Galatians chapter 20 and 21, okay? Which is what? I am crucified with Christ. Now, this is like a very important and a very, like a statement that we hold on to very dearly in our lives, isn't it? Like, we are taught in these things. And have you ever like thought like, what does it really mean? What did it really mean for Paul to say, "I am crucified with Christ"? Okay. Do you like just want to take like 30 seconds, 45 seconds to just think, what did it really mean? Or what does it really mean to say, "I am crucified with Christ"? And say like one thing to your neighbor. Okay. Let's do that. Would someone share like one thing, like what you said? I wish we, if you're trying to finish a thought, please feel free to do it, but would someone like to share like one thought? What does it mean? Giving away our rights. Okay, Leo says that. It's a good thought. Giving away our rights. Anyone else? I died with Christ. Okay. The old man, the self-life, that is crucified, and I died with him. Okay, wow. Making way for the new man. Okay, Pastor Benny said that. It's beautiful. Living in the imparted life. Pastor Chris said that. Okay. Yeah. Then. Okay. You're saying Paul himself might have been in that position, which he is speaking against, and now he's saying, "I'm not that." That's an interesting thought. Anybody? So, the thing is, if you look at this, the story in Galatians chapter 2, Paul is basically saying something like that, like, he's speaking to Peter and he's saying, I'm putting myself in distinction from you. Like, you are in a different platform, I am on a different platform right now. Both are apostles, but he's saying, I'm putting myself in distinction with you. Because what happened? Because Peter changed there, right? So the apostle Paul said, I have to put myself in distinction. So because he said this, because when a crisis came, he had what? He took Titus. He did not make the issue to be him, but he made the issue to be Titus. Okay, like, let's look at him. Let's read the last verse and we'll say that. The last verse says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by law, then Christ is dead in vain. Okay? Now, what that word frustrate means, to set aside the grace of God, or to invalidate the grace of God, or to make it as nothing or meaningless. I will not do that to the grace of God. He's saying, I might have had many failures, I might have weaknesses, I might have faults, I'm a sinful person also, but I will not make the grace of God very little. So he is saying this. Let's look at Titus. And it could mean like, you know, it could mean a disciple, right? It could mean a member in the church. It could mean a child. It could mean the next step. It could mean the mission. Okay, so I said this one could mean a body member, could mean a disciple. And the question is, look, we're having this grand discussion. So, but let it be that the heart of that discussion is about him and not about, like, you know, me. Kind of, it's like amazing. And And then the right question would be, what? How can we edify him? Or a child, say in a family or something, or like in a child, like for the child's sake, let us put aside our differences and come together. At work or in business, how can we go ahead? What is the next step? Putting aside the things that are like, you know, with that Philippians 3, right? Putting behind us the things, but also, I think forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forth. What is the next step? This is the next step. The whole point of the Jerusalem Council is not for us to like see who won an argument, but the whole point of that council is, what's our next step going to be? Okay? And the mission. Titus could be like, who is in your sphere of influence? You and your life, and you influence many people. And who is in your sphere of influence? So here is the thing I want to say. The three kinds of people, right? So we could at different points be at different kinds of people, going into a crisis, in a crisis, coming out of a crisis. But through it, the difference would be, am I going to hear the voice of the shepherd? Am I going to hear the voice of the shepherd? And do I have a Titus who, because if I have him, then I don't need to be self-centered while dealing with the crisis. So, now, you remember that Titus 2:11 and 12 we read? It was a letter that Paul wrote to Titus. He said, this grace of God will shepherd you, Titus. Paul could boldly commission Titus in the same grace of God because he took Titus. Okay? Now Titus could be saying, yeah, you do it. And he could, like, he knew, he would know that he got it and he would do it. You know? It's like amazing how the Bible is, and how God likes to lead us, you know? It's like individually, as a body of Christ. Last thought to finish. Okay, one more verse. Genesis chapter 33, and I'm done, okay? Esau comes to meet Jacob. Jacob is going back to the land after a long time, right? After running away from his brother, cheating him of his birthright. Pastor Benny preached a great message on Sunday. And then he goes back and Esau comes out to meet him. There's a lot of fear and all that. But then they embrace, hug. And in Genesis chapter 33 verse 12, Esau says, okay, come on, brother, let us, like, you know, go. Let us go, and I will go before you. This is what Jacob replies in verse 13, next one. My Lord knows that the children are tender, and the flocks and herds with young are with me. And if men should overdrive them one day, all the flock will die. Okay? So Esau comes basically in this beautiful luxury sedan SUV, could be like a Jaguar or something. And then he's like, come on, brother, like, you know, all the people will come, don't worry about them. And then Jacob is like, you know, it's not that I shouldn't come with you, but the only thing is, all of my people are in a Maruti 800. And some of whom whose pieces or tires are all flying everywhere. So if I were to make them follow the Jaguar, then, you know, it won't happen. Please let me come at the pace of the Maruti 800, he's saying. So in verse 14, let my Lord, I pray you, pass over before a servant. He's saying, you go, I will lead on softly, according as the cattle that goes before me. I mean, this doesn't mean like, you know, sentimentality or like, you know, too soft like that. But he's saying, like, this is how the Holy Spirit leads us in the as the body of Christ. This is how God, the grace of God, shepherds us, that He would lead on softly. Okay? And, wow. So, just, I hope that encouraged you. Just that, know that because you and I make a decision to walk with God, our problems are not going to get any smaller. In fact, it's going to become bigger and more complex sometimes. But the thing is, but we learn how to deal with it very differently, right? We will know how to take this guy along. And then we will know how to have joy along the way and have a party and not like be stressed about the whole thing. Because we have peace with God and rest in that situation. Yeah? So, okay, dear Lord, we pray for this time, this week, for the Bible college break and for people who are traveling. And also, God, give good health, recovery from sicknesses for people in the body. Also, God, put it on people's heart to initiate in faith and have fellowship and a great week. Give us a great week, Lord Jesus, in your most precious name. Amen.